Paul is coming to the end of this letter, and he's talking to the Thessalonians, and he starts by saying, "Finally, brethren." Finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus Christ that you, as you received from us instructions as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. When he's writing these final words of this letter, he's asking them, first he's saying that I make a request, and not only just making a request, but I exhort you. In other words, I strongly urge you, brethren, that means brothers and sisters of the church, strongly urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not he's saying that it's from me, but he's saying, even though it's a letter is from him, but he's saying, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you receive the instructions. In other words, what we instructed you, how we guided you, how we showed you how to walk, how we ought to walk, that would please God. And that was his main purpose, and to please God. And if we want to apply to ourselves, we can look back over our lives. When we first believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, how someone else came to our homes, opened their Bibles, whether we sisters, whether we brothers, whether it's one brother or one sister, how they opened their words and spoke to us and instructed us how we are to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian lives. I remember when I didn't even believe on the Lord, but two sisters used to come to our house to speak to Kamaljeet. And they would sit, open their Bibles, read their Bibles, talk about the Bible, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they would pray. And I would just sit there and listen. And I was going, I was huffing and puffing. And yet God had mercy on me. They instructed how to pray, how to read the Bible. Somebody came to us. Then when I believed, some brothers came. They kept on coming. When I started to go to the church, I received instructions. We need someone, other brother, other sister, in our Christian walks to guide us, instruct us, so that we may walk in a worthy manner and also walk to please God. The only way we can please God is when we hold the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't hold the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ physically, but even in our hearts, in our minds, through the word, we can hold him. It's like Jesus said that, I knock at the door, and if you open, I will come in, and I will sit with you and supper with you or dinner with you. What does he really come to you? Does he come knocking on the door? But he's already there by through his Holy Spirit. When you sit down, eat your food, thank the Lord, he's there. So in other words, physically we can't hold him. Spiritually we can, in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit. And he says that how you ought to walk and please God, but then he goes on to say, just as you actually do walk. And then he goes on to say that you excel still more. Excel means even grow more, increase more. And that should be our aim, our goal. If we want to walk with Jesus, the Lord God, we are to walk in a way that will please God. We ourselves cannot do anything to please Him. We ourselves are unable to please God because without the Holy Spirit, we are unable to do it. With the Holy Spirit, God that Jesus promises is the helper. When I go, I will send a helper to help you. So He has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily walk, to walk in a way that will please God. And then He says, we are to excel in it, increase in this walk. And this is what we have been called to do. Increase our walk with the Lord that will please God the Father. Then He goes on to say, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone comes to me or to you, start sharing the word, and start sharing the commandments of the Lord, start giving you the commandments from the God that what we should do, to love the Lord, the God, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If someone is telling us to do that, we should take this as an authority from it's not from the man, but from the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can speak to the person till we're blue in the face. He might not understand what you've said. He might not take anything. And we cannot go to another person and assert our own authority upon them and to say, I'm telling you, you must obey this commandment, or you must obey this, or you must do this. But if we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can. How do we have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? When we humble ourselves before the Lord, and we take the word in the Holy Spirit and speak to them and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord has said. This is how the Lord has spoken to me. And it is the word of God that we are speaking to you. Then we pass on the commandments or the instructions to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, for this is the will of God. It is always the will of God for all of us to have the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is always the will of God that we walk to please Him. It is always the will of God that we are to walk right with Him. And if we don't walk in the will of God, and walking on our own will, in our own strength, in our own way, we are not going to please God. Because then what I'm saying is, what we are saying is, what I'm doing it with my strength, with my will, to please Him. And we cannot do that with our own strength or what might we have. But we only can please God in the will of Him who called us. So we are to walk to please God, and we are to follow His commandments, commandments in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He goes on to say, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification. What does that mean, your sanctification? That means once you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven, you've been washed and cleansed, you have been, by the washing of the blood, you have been made pure, you are made clean. Not only that, but you have been set apart for God. So, your sanctification is also very crucial when you walk to please God. If you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not walking to please the Lord, your sanctification is tainted. Your sanctification is tainted. It's got mud on it. The Lord has washed us, cleansed us, sanctified us, washed us, cleansed us, made us holy for us to enter into God's kingdom. But he's also warning against immorality. It says here, sexual immorality. What he's saying is that if you want to walk with the Lord to please him, sanctified, set apart, purified, you are to refrain from all sin. In this case, he's talking about a man or a woman lusting after other people, other man or a woman. What he's saying is that if you want to stay sanctified, you are to refrain from immorality. And also he goes on to say that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel. Vessel means a wife or a husband, right? So that in sanctification and honor, husband and wife, they are to hold one another in sanctification in the Lord and honor one another. We are not to use one another as the people of the world use one another's in lustful way. I could say more or less animal behavior. He says, like the Gentiles do in another next verse, he says, you must hold one another in honor and in sanctification, in purity and holiness. And that no man trespass and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. But we must also remember not just immorality, but also we are to watch that no transgress or defrauding his brother, one another. Not cheating with them, not lying to them. And we have to be honest with one another, truthful, helping one another to grow, remembering that God is also watching. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you think, he knows it. But at the end, when we face him, stand before him, we can't hide anything from him. We'll be naked before him. What we thought, what we said, or we defrauded anybody, we cheated anybody, we lied to anybody, that'll be brought before us. We cannot mock God. We cannot play with him if we call ourselves Christians. If we are Christians, we are called to walk to please God. To please God, we must remain holy, sanctified. And we must not defraud or take part in immorality. Then he goes on to say, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Again, the word comes three times, the sanctification, in 3 and 4 and 7. God, who called us, he is holy, He's pure. He's righteous. He didn't call us for the purpose of impurity, but He called us for purity, holiness, righteousness. And we are to remain in purity, in sanctification. And that is why God called us. We were already in impurity before He took us in. We were already marred with sin. And now He's taken us out of it. And now He wants us to remain in sanctification, in holiness, and in purity. And that's what He purposes. By being in sanctification, by being pure in our thoughts, in our hearts, we can walk to please God, and also it can be a testimony to other people that we are living a separate life from the world. We are to remain pure and holy. If anybody is giving you instructions or reading the Bible with you, coming through a passage, this is what we must be like, this is what we should do, this is what we should do, we should take it, accept it. We can't say, this person is always talking like this, this person is always saying this, this person is always saying this, do this, do that, not do this. But if they're in saying to you in love, in purity, in holiness, you must accept it. And also, if a person goes to another person, that person must not assert their own authority. They shouldn't say, oh, I've told you to do this, I've told you to do that, but you're not doing it, you're not listening. No, we shouldn't assert our authority. What we should do, we go with humbleness, meekness, and also with love in our hearts. In that way, they can also see that this person is talking to me in love, in humility, and this person is, what he's saying, is helping me to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow Him, to walk with Him, and to remain holy. God has called us to remain pure and holy. So He goes on to say, so he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. When someone comes to us, guides us, leads us with the word of God, with instructions, with commandments, And if they don't accept it, they don't receive it in humbleness, but they're not rejecting the person that has brought them to the word or what they're saying to them. What they're saying is, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't have time for you. What they're saying actually in return, I have no time for God. I have no time to listen to God. I don't want to hear what God has to say to me. But it is the same God who gives us the Holy Spirit. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything, I'm telling you. God is the one who has given Himself to us, so that we can live a daily life as a Christian person. A Christian person is the one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, who listens to God, who listens to Christ, who listens to the Holy Spirit. And we cannot separate any of these from our lives. One God, three person. It's God who chose us. It's God who instructs us. It's God who gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the God who has saved us. God is the one who forgave our sins. It's God. It's God's work, and it's God's doing. You and I, sitting here today, tonight, none of you can say, I did this. None of you can say, oh, I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you can say, but after Jesus has chosen you. But you can't say, I came to the Lord Jesus so-and-so date. I believed upon him. You can't believe upon him unless the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, brings you on your knees, and then you confess with your mouth and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Only then you can say, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us can say, I came to the Lord, I believe upon the Lord, unless the God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts. If we say that we believed in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own mind, that belief is nothing. It's not fruitful. We only need to see people who say themselves that we are Christians. My brother used to say, there are other Christians. They go to the temple, they eat the food there. They go here, they go there, they go to the pub, they go to this. But what's so different about you? You call yourself a Christian, they call themselves a Christian. What's the difference? The difference was that God worked in my heart through the Holy Spirit, brought me to the point where I could say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. The others, nothing's changed in their lives, nothing changed in their hearts, because they're still outside the kingdom of God, because the Holy Spirit hasn't worked in their hearts. They themselves are doing the work, saying that we are Christians. Then Paul goes on to say to them, in verse 9, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourself are taught by God to love one another. Paul is writing, saying to them now, he says, talking about the love for the brethren, loving one another in the assembly, going into people's home, the Christians, brothers and sisters. He's saying, I don't need to write to you. He's saying, and I'm no need for anyone to write to you. You are taught by God to love one another. He says, I don't need to tell you. I didn't need to write to you. Because you are already taught by God to love one another. The question arises here. Are we taught by God today to love one another in this assembly? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the answer should be yes, we are. Paul is saying that your love for one another in your assembly in Thessalonica is saying that you are taught by God to love one another. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, for indeed you do practice it towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. What he's saying here is, he says, you do indeed practice loving one another. Not just here in Thessalonica, but also in Macedonia. He's saying that your love is not just confined to these four walls, but it's spreading out. Your faith has been heard. Your love for one another has been heard and seen by other faraway land. Saying, don't stop there. Don't stop there, but it says to excel still more, increase still more. We brothers and sisters here, we need to show our love to one another in here, in our homes, in our wherever we meet our brothers and sisters. We need to increase in our love for one another. We are to excel more. We need to increase our love for one another. It's easy for us as Christians to sit on that side, or sit in the middle. They can talk about them, and the people who are sitting in the middle, they can talk about them and talk about the people on the left or the right. But rather, put all that aside, all the differences aside, we must put our differences aside. We must increase in our love. First God, Jesus Christ, then one another, and then we need to excel even more. Increase. Our walk with God to please Him must increase. Our sanctification must increase. Our love for one another must increase. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will be in the midst of it, everything. It is God who does everything, not you and I or anybody, or me standing here talking to you. If there is no love in my heart for you, then it's a waste of time for me to stand here, talk about it to you, to love one another. Because that God has put the love of God, of Christ, in our hearts to love one another. We are to increase. We are to excel more. You can't just sit back and be lazy. You become lazy, you're not pleasing God. You become lazy, you're not taking care of your sanctification. We must increase. We must increase in order, according to verse 7, to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with our hands, just as commanded you. In other words, we excel in our love for one another and make our ambition to have a quiet life. And if we have a turmoil life, we can't have quietness in our life. And we cannot do what we should be doing and what we should want to do. It should be our ambition to have a quiet life. We heard this morning, we have various trials. That means we can't have a quiet life. We have various trials. Trials will come to a Christian. Trials, we heard this morning, will come to unbeliever. The life that we live in this world, because of this fallen nature of this world, trials will comes to anybody and everybody, whether they're believers or whether they're not. But the difference is that we can bear the trials. We can bear the trials because we have somebody standing or sitting next to us. Because there is someone who is within us, abiding within us. He's the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who leads us to the Word of God, from where our strength is drawn, and then when we are steadfast in the Lord. There is someone we can fall back on, as the English saying goes. But for the unbelievers, they got no one. They're on here, they're on everywhere looking for solace with friends and family. But we have someone who is eternal, who's there for us forever and ever. And also, our behavior should be different to the people of the world, people who are outside God's kingdom. Why should our behavior be different to them, from them? Towards outsiders as well. Because we carry the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. People see us, and the first thing they say, if our relatives are, oh, here comes a Christian. That's what they say. Our family used to say. I'll say it in Punjabi. Prabhu da Bhagat aa gaya. Saint of the Lord has come now. The first thing they notice, they say, here's a Christian. They know that you're a Christian, that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony, you are holding the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Our lives are called, in summary, to walk and please God and be sanctified, set apart. And that should be our aim, to stay pure and also to refrain or stay away from sin. And our love for one another should grow, not decrease, but increase. And that should be our ambition. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.